Kaya Talk, Monday to Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m.
We continue now with our business woman on the move. And our guest this evening is Matapelo Pitse, founder and CEO of J'adore D'Amour. A very good evening to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Hi, Dimitri. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I'm so excited.
So we had a bit of a chat earlier. You're from the East Rand. You couldn't afford to go to varsity, and you didn't really have much guidance around the power of education, but you still took the bull by its horns and you decided it's sink or swim, and you got out there and you did a whole lot of things before you actually started out with J'adore.
Yes, that's correct. And you know, it's been a very long journey, but, you know, I would always like to say to people that I went through the school of life, and where I am now today is because of the steps I followed throughout my life, you know. And it's always not about how you start, but how you're going to end in the future.
That's so true. So when you finished school, you did you go straight into retail, or did you do other things before that?
So when I finished with school, I went straight into corporate. And funny enough how my journey was, because when I completed matric, all my friends were going to varsity. And, you know, it was quite sad because my parents had worked so hard, you know, to put me through high school, and I didn't have pretty much the opportunity from them financially to go to varsity. So, and also because of my parents were working so hard, they were never really around in terms of to guide me, like, listen, because you can get an exemption in order for you to get a bursary at school. So I found myself like kind of being now like, okay, what do I do next? And I always thought to myself, I never wanted to be a statistic of South Africa. I always wanted to make sure, I wanted to get a better life for myself, you know, better for my parents, to get them out of their own situation that they had. So straight after that, I went straight into corporate. And I remember this one day, I used to wake up every morning and go by the job mail and to look through jobs and apply, you know, to find jobs, but no one would respond to me. So one day I went to like an employment agency with just a CV that just didn't have any experience. At the time, I didn't even know how to use a computer quite well. It just didn't write any work experience. And I remember I walked in, and with this particular lady, all I had was a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed personality. And I said to her, listen, I only have a high school, you know, diploma. I don't have anything else. All I know is that I'm a fast learner, and all I'm looking for is a job. And she took a chance on me at that point. And I got my first job as a receptionist, you know, filling in for someone who was on maternity leave. And from there, I literally got a crash course in 2 days how to be a receptionist.
Wow.
And from there, that's how I literally grew in my career, because I worked for various companies and various goals in marketing department, PR, finance, HR. So I learned those kind of skills from there.
Okay, but I mean, you got that experience in the retail industry, but you started in an entire shoe brand. Did you started in 2017. Were you still working, or did you leave work and then get into that?
Oh, no. So when I started the shoe brand, it was not my first rodeo in business. So I had a catering company before. But when I started my businesses, I've always made sure that I have a full-time job, because you still have to pay for, you know, your daily living, food, groceries, and, you know, mortgage bond at the time, which I still had, was like, you know, a car and mortgage. And I never really wanted to take that full risk of like, oh, no, I'm going to jump into this and then it doesn't work out. So I'd always balance the two together. I had a business, and as well as, you know, worked a full-time job. So what is your daughter more started in 2017, which prior to that I had a catering company which I started successfully, and I sold off to a friend. However, I just didn't enjoy what I was doing. However, the entrepreneurial bug had already bitten me, and I knew that I still wanted to carry on to be in the business space. So that journey began in 2017 with the brand, which was named something else before what it is now. And throughout that time, I still worked my full-time job, and I still worked, you know, I still ran my business. But you get to a point in your life where you realize either both of the things can't thrive equally. Either one between the two suffers. And you end up having to make a decision whether do you want to have a full-time job or do you have to run a business. And in my case, I found that my business was actually not thriving as much as I'd wanted to because my full concentration wasn't there because my job was as well was very demanding. And secondly, I got to a point where it was like waking up to go to work was not the happiest thing for me. But, you know, I had a great job. I had, you know, I was working for a great company, but it was not fulfilling anymore. And yeah, and last year, September, I decided, you know what, I'm going to, you know, resign from my job, and I was going to apply to be a founding CEO of my own company, and I started running it full time. And it's been a great experience since then.
How did you start with the shoes? Did you start making them or did you import them?
Oh, man, you know, it's quite funny. It was a very accidental. I never, ever in my million years did I ever think I was going to own a shoe brand. You know, when I was still looking for my journey to finally find something I had passion in, you know, when I started the business, I just started very, 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 very small. You know, in the beginning, what I used to do was that I used to have a particular vendor overseas, a manufacturer where I used to buy my shoes. And most of the time, strangers or my friends would ask me where I got the shoes. And I'd refer them back to the vendor at the time. And then eventually I realized, like, wait, why don't I then become the middle person between my inquirer and the vendor? And I started selling the shoes where I would take, you know, a deposit from the friend or from a consumer, you know, and make an order from overseas and then get it imported. And then I would resell it. And at the time, the shoes I was selling, they were already branded with the vendor's, you know, brand name. And then eventually, you know, it went from one shoe to another in terms of orders. And then, you know, as I was growing, trying to grow the business and the brand and trying to find my own direction, I started, buying the same shoe from the same manufacturer, but it had no brand because I realized that, you know, if I'm selling a branded shoe from that particular vendor, the consumer then just can bypass me and go purchase directly at the vendor. So then the vendor allowed me to sell the, you know, the non-branded shoes. And over time, I was, you know, okay, now I want to really sell my own design and start designing my own shoes. And with that being said, I've never gone to a design school. So it was also kind of like, okay, I knew the type of shoes I wanted to sell, but I didn't know how to, you know, communicate the design. So, you know, I remember a lesson that my father had taught me was that if you can't do something yourself, get someone who's learned and educated in that field to do it for you. So I started getting an illustrator whereby I would cut out pictures of the kind of style of shoes I wanted to do and put it together. And then I'll tell the illustrator, this is how I want the shoe. And the illustrator, fashion illustrator, would paint out the picture or draw it. And then I would send it to the manufacturer who would then make a like a sample of the shoe, a demo, a prototype, and then they would bring it back to me. And then if I liked it, then they would go ahead with the bulk order and do the production of the shoes, and then I would get them imported into the country, which we still currently do at the moment because, you know, sadly, the, you know, our footwear industry is still slowly growing, and we don't have a lot of manufacturers who can manufacture women's shoes in South Africa.
Where did the money come from for all of this? I mean, you had to hire an illustrator, you needed to source the shoes.
So initially when I started the business back then, when I was selling like one shoe at a time, I would do it from my own pocket because I was working a full-time job. So at least my salary subsidized this project that I started. But at some point, you know, I realized that the business was not growing as fast as I wanted it to grow. And also, I realized, like, okay, I'd learned, like, okay, this is what I really wanted to do. And the one of the lessons I'd learned that with the consumers that I had back in the day, women, when they order shoes or anything about, they're very compulsive consumers. So they want the item as is right there and, like, right now. They don't want to wait a long time. And at the time when I was making the orders for the ladies, an average shoe would take 4 weeks, you know, to be made, to be shipped to South Africa and then make it. So I was using consumers in that way. So that's when I decided to actually, you know, I was going to buy a consignment of shoes and I was going to sell them. So back in the day, my first official like business deal that I signed up was with a friend of mine, which I had approached. At the time, I made a whole like presentation. And at the time, and still now, you know, I didn't really know how to do a business plan, but from what I'd used as a skill set, from what I'd seen on YouTube and asked friends who had gotten BCom on how to do a presentation. I did a presentation that listed the vision and the products I wanted to do and the financial projections that I was planning on having on the shoes. And I went to this particular friend which had identified and, you know, pitched this whole concept of the brand to say, listen, can you please borrow me money because I want to do ABC. And I was quite fortunate at the time that she agreed and really believed in the dream that I had. And she had, at the time, lent me 70,000 rand. So,
sure. Wait. So you learned all of this. You learned how to do your business plan and you educated yourself with YouTube and Google. Did you also learn how to do financial projections on there?
Yes, exactly. That's what I did. A lot of people don't.
Oh, the internet is our friend.
The internet is our friend. And it's quite funny that we take for granted the cell phones that we have and the amount of information that we consume. Most of the time, as people, we consume so much superficial information of looking at people on Instagram instead of using most of our time to actually find out. And Google is like the best friend, and YouTube is the best friend. You can Google anything. And I would Google stuff that was very simple that maybe some people would understand. Like, you know, I would want to know what is a percentage difference, and I'll Google it and try to understand the formula of it. And the one thing I also got into the habit of doing was that all the friends that I knew that had gone to varsity and had the education, I would always call them. If I had a friend who was in marketing, a friend who was starting to be an accountant or had completed, I would call them. I'm like, listen, I want to do a marketing plan or PR strategy plan. How do I do this? And they would explain to me. So basically, I'm getting that information from them, you know, without having to go to school. And that's how I learned my way.
Yeah, it's having, you know, it's being able to spot the resources as well. I mean, having it, as you say, in your hand, on your cell phone, the internet, all you need is a bit of data or sit in a Wi-Fi spot and Google all of these things. And then your other resources are your friends. So, you know, you weren't afraid of asking. I'm going to go back to the 70,000 rand. You asked a friend for 70,000 rand.
I did. And then, you know, I went and bought a consignment of shoes. But, you know, just like this, challenges. I remember when I purchased that first consignment of shoes, I didn't do proper research, and I realized that in order for a person to import shoes into the country, you need to have an importer's license exporting. And at that time, I didn't have. So I had my consignment that I'd ordered that was confiscated at the time.
Ouch.
And, you know, half of the consignment was confiscated, and I needed to pay a certain penalty fee to release that consignment. And at the time, I spent all of that money on this consignment, so I didn't have the money to release that consignment. So I ended up losing out on that consignment, but I had a few shoes that were left. So obviously, I couldn't cry over spilt milk, and I had to make a plan. And I always say to people that to be an entrepreneur, you need to be a highly resourceful person, because, you know, your life daily just, you know, relies on you being resourceful for yourself and for your business. Yeah, so from there, I got the consignment. But now there was also the trick that here I am, I've got this half of my consignment that's there. So the projections that I initially had were not there. And, you know, I'm trying to keep my spirits up. And also now I have an issue. I've made this first business deal I made that I said to Sadie, I'm going to pay her back with 70,000 plus interest, and now I have to try sell a few shoes that I haven't tried to pay back. But then also the business was not growing as fast as I can. But I was quite fortunate that I still had my full-time job, and I spent my own income paying back every last cent of this loan that I made. And that was the first lesson, that you need to honor the business deals that you make, you know. So. Yeah. Pretty much from there, I kind of grew and learned my way around business and, you know, trying to be resourceful and honoring business deals and realizing that what you really make from a business is not necessarily what you need to put in your personal bank account and go spend. And I've made those mistakes in the past where it was like, oh, I've made 1,000 rand here from a sale of shoes, and I'm automatically thinking that that is my income. But meanwhile, basically, I need to just take 50 rand from that 1,000 rand as salary, and the rest needs to be put back into the business to grow it.
So it's just about 4 years. And yes. Where are you in retail stores or are you online?
So right now we are in e-commerce stores, and we have just literally partnered up with two retail stores which distribute our products. You know, initially when I then decided to run my business, it's from last year, September, to run my business full-time, when I started upscaling in terms of the functionality of the business. So that's when we're now on online, on a lot of our consumers buy our products online, and through also social media, and as well as for walk-in experience to feel the product, to see the product, they can actually go to our partners, and one of them is House of Nana, which is at the Leonard Hotel in Sandton City, where they can see some of our products and actually purchase them, and as Africa Rise in Sandton City.
Well done. Well, thank you so much for talking to me this evening. Good luck with the shoe business. I mean, absolutely stunning shoes. They're not cheap, but they are beautiful, and you've got to pay sometimes for that beauty. Thank you so much for your time. Matapelo Pitse, CEO and founder of J'adore d'Amour.
Kaya Talk, Monday to Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.